Jesus, in the last week of his life, marches deliberately into the center of local imperial power and religious collaboration with that power, and paints a picture of an alternative realm, the kingdom of God. Paints the picture so passionately that the Roman authorities cannot ignore it. And yet the church has managed to ignore Jesus' message for centuries. Stephen Patterson writes, "Is Jesus dead? Not yet. But what the cross could not do, Christians could. We are killing Jesus." Jesus was a sage, or if one prefers, a prophet. Sages and prophets live by their words and deeds. In this sense, for most of us who assemble in the name of Jesus, he is dead. His words and deeds mean little to us, if anything at all. We do not look to Jesus for a way of life, but for salvation. He died that we might live. Indeed, it seems we have to kill him in order that we might live whatever lives of power and privilege we are allowed to lead. When real life is at stake, most of us will take personal salvation over the empire of God any day. So we prefer our Christ crucified, a once living Jesus silenced. This week, Jesus' last week, cannot be about the silencing of Jesus. It cannot be about personal salvation and nothing more. It is about choices. It is about which kingdom will hold our loyalties, about how we will follow and who. Where will we march? The parade of military might or the parade of peace? Where will we worship? The house of prayer or the hideout for religious collaboration with injustice? How will we resist? With violence or nonviolence, mirroring our enemies or with active love? How will we be disciples? With the outpouring of lavish love, doing what we can do, or with resentment that leads to betrayal? How will we address the problems of this world, the poor, the hungry, the oppressed, as part of the solutions? The changes, the creation of the realm of love here on earth, or by sending away, by sleeping, fleeing, denying, deserting? Which kingdom has our loyalty? Angry white men sending bombs, slaughtering school children with guns, black men shot in their backyards, threats of violence overseas met with more and more violent rhetoric. Refugees sent away. Immigrants ripped from their families. Endless health care for the wealthy while the poor die from the flu, the medicine too expensive. Your kingdom come on earth. What if God and not Caesar demanded a tax? What if we truly gave to God all that is God's? What if we did love God with everything? Our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength. What if we could step back and see that the gift, however costly given in care and compassion, is worth more than what is given in resentment? The people are hungry and the disciples want to send them away. You give them something to eat, Jesus says. You create the kingdom right here, right now. This week, this last week, cannot be about silencing Jesus. His cries for the kingdom are needed now as much as ever, maybe more so. This week, this last week, cannot be simply about personal salvation while our brothers and sisters die not in personal sin and depravity, but in slums, in oppressive systems, in schoolrooms and city streets. Jesus lived within an empire that believed violence saves, that war brings peace, that might makes right. The empire sought violence for its redemption, not God. It let violence speak, not peace, not love, not justice. Jesus counters the empire and its belief in violence. Jesus counters religious collaboration with the empire's violence and oppression until his dying breath. And Jesus calls us all along the way, calls us to live into our loyalty to the kingdom of God, indeed to follow him even to the cross, creating a realm of justice and love with each step. Holy Week must be more than personal. It is about the transformation of the world by following Jesus and joining him and working for what he's passionate about. Jesus shows us a realm of peace created not through violence but through love, a realm of justice created through sharing, compassion, economic transformation, a realm of welcome created through radical inclusion. Holy Week is Christianity's primal narrative, but what does it mean? So often the meaning of this week has been focused exclusively on personal piety and morality with little to no recognition of the political implications. The empire executed Jesus to silence him, and the church has left him on the cross, telling us that Jesus died for our personal sins, telling us to rejoice in personal forgiveness, and focusing religious ambition exclusively on what happens after we die. The meaning we make of Jesus's last week matters. Much is at stake. Is Christianity primarily about individual morality and an afterlife? Or is it about the creation of the kingdom of God here on earth? Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The word ransom has been heard only as sacrificial language. We've heard preacher after preacher say that Jesus paid the ransom for our sins. But the Greek word translated as ransom, lutron, is used in the Bible not in the context of payment for sin, but to refer to payment made to liberate captives, often from captivity in war, or slaves, often from debt slavery. A lutron, a ransom, is a means of salvation from oppression. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life as a means of liberation from bondage, from oppression. "God has sent me," he said, "to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim God's favor." We've made the focus of Holy Week about the interior rather than the exterior life, about heaven rather than earth, about the future rather than the present, and above all else, about religion safely and securely quarantined from politics. Jesus's passion, his message, is the kingdom of God. He marched, he spoke, he led a religious protest against the central economic and political institutions of his day. He attracted a following and took his movement to Jerusalem, the seat of power, in the season of Passover. And there he challenged the authorities with public acts and public debates. All of this was his passion. Jesus was passionate about the kingdom of God, a realm of God's justice. Jesus deliberately used kingdom language. If Jesus had wanted to avoid political connotations of kingdom language, he could have. He could have spoken about the family of God, or the people of God, or the community of God, but he didn't. He told story after story about the kingdom of God. He asked us to consider an alternative realm to the one that rules this world. Not to consider, Jesus asked us to create it, this alternative realm, this realm of justice. He asked us to help him. We must let Jesus's passion continue to inspire us. His vision of a kingdom on earth, a world of distributive justice, of sharing, of freedom, a world of peace. The task is ours now. The realm of love is ours to create. We start by loving God with everything we are, with loving the things that belong to God, which is to say everything. We start by loving ourselves and loving our neighbors in equal measure. We must not let this week silence Jesus. If we listen, we can hear him still. I heard him yesterday at the March for Our Lives, saw him out of the corner of my eye waving his palm branch. Amen.